John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. All right. We can go along with that scripture that says, love the Lord thy God. But sometimes this one gets a little challenging, doesn't it? And so I guess we'll just start right here. And we live in a world where love is hard to find. And hate can be found on every corner. Any channel you want to turn on your TV, it's right there. Bitterness and anger, even in our own country, that's where we're at. But we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to love. The Bible said that God is love. And if we're going to be like him, then that's what we need to do, I would think. Now you pray for us for just a few minutes. And so let's just start with this. We read a couple different places in the Bible about the Jews and the Samaritans. So let's take a look at them for just a minute. About two groups of people that absolutely hated one another. They despised each other. You see, it all started when Nebuchadnezzar came down and he took the best and the brightest, children that had the ability in them to stand before the king. Help me, Lord, to be one of those. And so he took the best and the brightest that Jerusalem had, and just a remnant of the children of Israel remained. The elderly and the scribes and those kind of people were left there. Jerusalem was burned. And they brought in people from other nationalities and things like that. And the best and the brightest that Israel had was captive down in Babylon for around 70 years. That's a lifetime. That's three generations or more. And during that 70 years, the remnant that was left, they intermingled and they married folks that weren't of the Jewish faith. And so whenever the best and the brightest was released and was able to return, what they found was a people that was of mixed blood, of mixed heritage, of mixed traditions. And it wasn't the same people that they left. And they looked at the Samaritans, as they became to be known, as the folks that weren't pure. They didn't have the pure Jewish blood in them. And they resented them. And they hated them for it, to the point of where if you were a Jew and you had to go from one place to another and Samaria was in the way, you might even go around to keep from going through Samaria. That's how bad they despised one another. And so we get down to the point in the fourth chapter of John where we read that a Jewish boy that was born of a virgin must need go down through Samaria.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Praise the Lord.
He didn't just come to the Jews.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? He made room in his plan for people like me and you.
Yes.
For the despised, for the dogs, for the folks that had, now listen, the Samaritans couldn't even go into the temple. And so Jesus saw a need to go down through Jerusalem. He must needs go down to Samaria. And you pray for me for just a few minutes. And so we read word that there was a woman that came to draw water at the well. And Jesus was worried. So he sat thus on the well. He got tired. Can you imagine that? Sometimes we do too. But we don't need to sit down. Even when he was worried, he helped save a soul. And one witness and one light was able to be carried from the well back down to the city. And a woman that had had five husbands was able to have such a testimony that a whole city heard her testimony and came to hear his word for themselves. She said, he asked for a drink of water, and she said, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We probably shouldn't even be talking. And here you are asking me for a drink. And no doubt she had met other Jews that had said ugly things to her down through the years. And she had a bad taste in her mouth. Have you ever been there? Mm-hmm. You had folks say something to you. We're human. We've got this old human nature. Yeah. And we may forgive. But see, it's awful hard sometimes to forget, isn't it? Yeah. She said the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Mm-hmm. And then we read on down. And she said, our fathers worship in this mountain. And ye say Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She had a different faith, a different religion. We look at folks that have a different faith, a different religion, and we say, well, they're not like us. They don't believe in the same Savior that we believe in. They don't worship the same God that we do. But let me just relay this to you. Whether they acknowledge him and accept him or not, they have the same Savior, and they need to call on him. And the only way we'll ever win a soul, if it's of a different religion and a different faith, is not by telling them how wrong they are, but by loving them to Jesus. What's that say? Love covers a multitude of sin. Friend, this is a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. She'd been married five times. What can the Lord do with a woman that's been married five times? Lord knows we don't need her. He gave her a testimony. She had been involved with five different men. And the man that she was living with right then was not her husband. What good can become of a life like that? She must have been known around the community. She must have had a poor reputation. Well, there she is. She's probably after somebody else's man. Until she met the right man.
Amen.
And when she met the right man, that woman that was scorned, that woman that you'd say might have worn the scarlet letter, that woman that had the bad reputation, that woman that other women didn't want their husbands to be around, she came riding back down to the city and said, come see, I met the right one. Come see a man that's told me all things ever I've done. Is this not the Christ? Listen, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That whosoever believeth in him, not be ashamed. Let me tell you something. If you want to be a stronger Christian, tell about it. Tell about the day that Jesus saved your soul, that you met the right man.
Amen.
Yeah, you all say Jerusalem's the place men ought to worship. What did Jesus have to say about that? Mm-hmm. Well, if they don't come the Baptist way, preacher. The time has come and now is that true worship, that he seeks true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. That leaves a lot of our Baptist churches out. Spirit. Truth. Well, what is truth? That's what Pilate asked Christ, wouldn't it? What is truth? You know what he said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, a Jew and a Samaritan came together and something wonderful happened. A whole city was made to believe on Jesus.
Yes.
Because Jesus saw a need down in Samaria. He was tired. He was weary. And Satan says, you just stay home. You're tired. But there might be somebody that has a need. It might be somebody that's pierced all over. It might be somebody that's covered from head to toe with tattoos. It might be one of these youngins that's goth. It might be somebody that's never heard about Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, we've got churches on every street corner. Amen. But there are families. I teach school. This is my 34th year. I meet kids every day. And I'm sure that the majority of them have never, they might have been sent through a service. They might have been in a sanctuary somewhere. But they never seen the real church when the power of God falls and glory is shouted and tears flow and men and women run to the altar and beg the Lord to save them. Oh, listen, we need to get back to our first glory. The Jews and the Samaritans. Let's move on. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. That was his first mistake. When you leave Jerusalem, trouble is what you're going to find. When you leave the church, well, they don't like me down there. They don't let me do what I want to do. They're all hypocrites. This is a place for sinners.
Amen.
And if you are one, you fit right in.
Amen.
Because your pastor is. He's a sorry somebody.
Bless him, Lord.
He went down from Jerusalem. He left Jerusalem. And he found trouble. He fell among thieves. What do you think's waiting on you when you leave Jerusalem?
Yeah.
He took what he had, beat him, rent his clothes, left him half dead. And there he lay, lifeless and helpless. Did you ever think that maybe that he'd have never met that fate if he hadn't left Jerusalem? I preach this often. It's come to me, so I'm going to give it to you again. We got young folks over here. We got young folks right here. We got young folks over here.
I don't care how raw you get, come to church anyway. And if you're condemned and you can't come right on up on the altar, come to church anyway. Life is short. You let anger and bitterness get the best of you. You let Satan tell you you're not even fit to be there. He's a liar and the father of it. Come to church anyway. This is the only place. You think they love you at the bar? No, they don't. They want your money, and when they've got all of it, they have no use for you. They're just like the thieves. You think they love you at work? As soon as you're not able to lift a finger and you're of no use to them, they'll let you go and hire somebody else in your place. You think the world loves you? They just want to use you. The only place you'll find where people really love you is the church of the living God.
Amen.
All right, you gray hairs. Where would you have been if it hadn't been for 11 Church?
Amen. Lost and gone.
Amen.
Don't get them confused. You better stay with the people that love you.
Amen.
They left him half dead. And a priest came by. And he seen the shape that fellow was in. He looks pretty rough. And he passed by on the other side. Priest, I would think it would be a Jew. Does that sound right? Mm-hmm. And then the Levi came by. The Levite. You know what the Levites did? I guess you'd call them deacons. Before the term deacon came about in the Bible, they took care of the sanctuary in the church. Mm-hmm. Played an important role in the Jewish religion. But when the Levite passed by and saw the shape that man was in, he passed by on the other side. I don't care how bad of an alcoholic they are. I don't care how many drugs that they've shot up their arm or snorted up their nose. I don't care what kind of shape they're in. I've got a Savior that can make a difference.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Thank you.
And then somebody of a different breed came through. Somebody of a different nationality came through. You know what we say? Well, if they're not like us, listen, God uses everybody. And he can use them to help you in your time of need. And the very person that you may have ugly things to say about might be the very one that helps win your children. That helps win your lost sinners that you're so desperately crying out to the Lord for. Let me tell you something today. God can use anybody that'll humble their heart. And all we need to do is humble our heart, be willing to do what he would have us to do, and no more. Did you hear that? When we get between these ears, we do more than what God wants us to. And when we're between here and we open this, and that tongue starts to flap and that deadly poison falls out. And we hurt people.
Yep.
How do we avoid that? A new commandment I give to you. That you love one another.
Amen.
As I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
What did the Samaritan do? He was taught to hate that Jewish man. What did the Samaritan do? The Jewish man, had he been in his wits, may have said no. But the Samaritan took him, poured in oil and wine, and bound up his wounds. He took care of his wounded soul. We got wounded souls all over Cock County, Sevier County, Hamblin County, Jefferson County, just waiting for somebody to care for them.
Amen.
He bound up his wounds. He put him, I don't know what he had had on that beast of burden. It doesn't say. But I could just see him with that little old donkey just piled over with things that he had bought to take back home with him. And rather than passing the man by, he unloaded that beast of burden and he carried his own things on his own back and set that wounded Jew up on that beast of burden. Aren't you glad when you were lost and undone, somebody carried the burden for you?
Amen.
Some little old Sunday school teacher, some deacon, some singer, some song leader, some preacher, some mama, some daddy, somebody carried the burden of your name to Jesus. You don't get saved by yourself. It takes the church. And when Zion travails, she'll bring four children. That's Bottoms. I appreciate our visitors. I love you with all my heart. But I've got to preach to Dutch Bottoms for about 30 seconds. Dutch Bottoms. Do you want to see our sinners saved?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I could include you all because I know you do too.
Yeah.
But you may not be here Sunday. These people will. So you pray for us, and maybe the next time I see you, I can give you some good news.
Yeah.
All right.
Bless him, Lord.
He went a little farther than that, didn't he? When he got him to the inn,
bless him, Lord.
He said, here he is, and here's the money I have. I'm not spending my money on a Jew. I'm not spending my money on a Samaritan. Here's this wounded person.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be much, but you take this.
Yes, bless the Lord.
And you care for him.
Right.
You think about that inn as being the church.
Yes,
listen, I've seen crusades and things like that. Every young Christian needs a church.
Yes.
How else are they going to know how to trust the Lord?
Right.
How to call to him. How to pray to him. How to worship him. I'm so afraid that we've got folks that they made a trip to the altar, and I'm not judging their salvation. That's between them and God. But they have been set loose, foot loose, and fancy free, and never had the nurturing and the care that a good church can give a Christian.
That's right.
They need that. Now, I believe that once you get Jesus on the inside, he'll begin to change the outside.
Amen.
But that kind of stuff takes time. Did you know that?
Yes.
The Lord has to reveal that to him. Okay, you can shoot me now. I'll tell this. Church that I grew up, there was a man in probably his late 20s, early 30s, came in. Never been to church. Wasn't related to anybody at the church. And he had hair down to his belt buckle. And some of the good ladies in the church didn't care much for that. And they approached the pastor, and they said, you need to preach on long hair. But I'm glad the pastor didn't rely on his congregation to tell him what to preach. He said, when the Lord will let me, I'll do that.
Amen.
He knew to get around to it. And then one Sunday morning, while the church was rejoicing and the preacher was preaching, the man with the long hair came off the back pew and made his way down to the altar.
Amen.
And got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
If the pastor had listened to his congregants, the man might not have ever come back to church. But he listened to the Lord. I'm telling you today, we can't go by what somebody looks like.
We can't go by the color of their skin. We can't go by the sound of their voice.
Amen.
But every man, woman, boy, and girl has a soul. And everybody needs salvation.
Amen. Amen.
They prayed. He stood up. The pastor said, "You got something you want to say?" He said, "Yeah, Jesus saved me."
Yeah.
He said, "And I know some of you may look at my hair and wonder why I would wear it like that." He said, "I have it cut off once a year, and I donate it to Locks of Love."
Yeah.
Now, let's fast forward 30 years. We wouldn't even have to go that far. Those two good ladies disappeared, wandered off, went other places. The church has changed. The congregation has changed. People have come and gone. Elders passed on. Things like that. You know who's still there? That man. He and his wife, they both hold offices in the church. And if you go on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, they're still there. They're faithful. He always greets you with a smile. He got something when he got saved. A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another.
Amen.
I'm not going to lie to you. There are times I get aggravated. I'm human. And there are times that there are teeth marks on my tongue. And I may not like something you say, or I may not like something you do. And you may even be my enemy, but you know what the Bible says about that? Love your enemy. And pray for your enemy. That's hard, isn't it?
Amen.
That is a hard thing to do. But I have found if you love them, nobody can resist the love of God. Love, love, love. We have been known as a church. When you walk through the door, you can feel the love. Do you want that to change?
No.
Do you want to lose that reputation?
No.
Just a few unkind words. Just a little. You know what? That snake that stands up. You've seen them, the copperheads or the rattlesnakes. They don't have a gallon of venom. They just have a little bit. But a little bit is enough to kill a man.
Amen.
And that deadly poison in your tongue can do the same.
That's right.
Amen, bud.
All right. I'm about to be done. I appreciate your good attention.
Bless him, Lord.
A new commandment that I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so love you one another.
Amen.
Let's read the second verse that I read to you. Verse 35. By this, listen really, really close. By this, all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I don't need a t-shirt. I don't need a bumper sticker. But I need to help you in your time of need. Well, I want to be like Jesus. I saw something just the other day. Help people to see Jesus in me. I'd be satisfied if they could see the Good Samaritan in me. If they saw somebody that was willing to help them in their time of need. Isn't that what being Christ-like is all about?
Amen.
All right. That you love one another as I have loved you. This is how he loved you. We were dogs. Not even included. could not even walk through the door of the church, of the sanctuary. There was a way men could get forgiveness. And you could bring your best cow, your best turtle doves, whatever, goat, sheep, whatever you raised. And they would make the sacrifice, and the priest would go into the holiest of holies, and he would sprinkle the blood over the altar. And if he were living right, and if you were Jewish, you might get forgiveness for a year. But you had to repeat that over and over and over. And guess what? We were left out. Could not be redeemed. Could not be forgiven. Did not have any hope until Jesus was there with God and he said, "Let us make man." Until a baby was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Until a child of 12 went and explained the scriptures to the scribes and the Pharisees until he stood and was beaten and scourged and mocked and put the crown of thorns on his head and the soldiers bowed and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," until they marched him up Calvary's Hill. Now listen, this is how much he loved you. We like to love folks until it gets a little inconvenient, don't we? He went when it was inconvenient. He went even against his own will. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Let me preach this to you, even if it goes against your flesh, and God says do it, you better do it. When they took the crown of thorns and they shoved it down on his head, mm-hmm. and the blood flowed down his temples and down his cheeks and dripped off, there was only one reason he let that happen. He could have called a legion of angels, but he didn't. Why? Because he loved me and he loved you.
Yeah, amen.
And it laid down the cross, oh Simon, and Jesus laid down on it. What's your tendency? If somebody's going to stick something through your hand, I've seen folks accidentally with nail guns and things like that, they'll shoot them off. And they'll go through their hand. And stuff. Your natural tendency is to withdraw, isn't it? Jesus stretched out his hands and his feet, and the Roman soldiers drove the nails in his hands. And why did he do that? Why did he suffer such things? Because he loved me. My Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater plan. Oh, I'm telling you today, well, he loved in you. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All I want to do, preachers, be like Jesus. Well, let's not wait till he gets here. Let's start today. Because he loved you, he allowed them to crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
Men have tried to put blame for centuries. Well, it was the Pharisees. It was the religious crowd. It was the Jews. It was the Romans. It was me.
That's right.
And it was you.
That's right.
No greater love hath a man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Here's the highest compliment you'll ever get when Jesus said, "Lo, I have called you my friends."
Yes.
Would you rather be the president?
No, sir.
Or would you rather be Jesus' friend? Would you rather own the tallest building in New York City? Or would you rather be known as Jesus' friend?
Amen.
Would you rather have all the gold in Fort Knox, or would you rather be Jesus' friend? Oh, isn't it wonderful to be Jesus' friend?
Amen.
There is a friend. Woo! That sticketh closer than a brother. And if a man want a friend, he must show himself what? Friendly. He's just a whisper away. He's just a broken heart away. I'm so glad when my heart is broken, when life don't go my way, when I face adversity and trials and heartache. I'm glad I've got a friend in Jesus. Why would he love me? The night I got saved, I was in my pajama pants. I had a piggy bank, and I'm sure it had less than $5 in it. Had no money on me. My dad worked at Ryan Lumber Company, and he never made much above minimum wage. He drove old secondhand cars, and they'd break down on him every 2 or 3 months. Had a little 3-bedroom home across the bridge. I didn't have a single thing to offer except my sin. I'll tell you, you wonder why I'm happy? Well, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross. He didn't have to do that. He died for me. He shed every drop of blood so that I didn't have to go to hell. He redeemed my soul from that awful state. My daddy couldn't do it. My mama couldn't do it. My preacher couldn't do it. My Sunday school teacher couldn't do it. But Jesus loved me enough to shed his blood. And he didn't only die, he rose again. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. I don't have to go to hell. When I got down on my knees, I wasn't thinking about heaven and the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. I just didn't want to die and go to hell. And thank God I'm not going, because he loved me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, I'm supposed to love you like he loved me.
Amen.
If it's inconvenient, I'm supposed to just be inconvenienced.
That's right.
To love you like he loved me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Let's go on and consider just a little bit more. Can you give me 2 minutes?
Amen.
The soldiers mocked him. The thief on the left said, "If thou be the Christ, save us and yourself." They doubted him. They falsely accused him. And what he had to say? Can you quote me one thing in the Bible that he opened his mouth and sought retribution on? I don't read a single thing. As a matter of fact, I believe it said he was humble and meek. He said, "I am meek and lowly." So oftentimes our religious crowd wants to appear as if they're self-righteous and they're better than the downtrodden of this world. We're like the Pharisees. We're whited sepulchers. But what's inside the whited sepulcher? Dead men's bones. Without the Spirit, you're none of his. So what's the difference, preacher, between the Muslims and us? What's the difference, preacher, between the agnostics and us? What's the difference, preacher, between these other religions that serve other gods and us? And you could say, Jesus. Let's go a little deeper than that.
God is love. That's all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If he hadn't loved us, we'd have been on our way to hell or already there and burning.
That's true. It's
by his mercies that we are not consumed.
Amen.
A new commandment I give you, mm-hmm. that you love one another as I have loved you. You may love me, you may hate me. Love me enough to pray for my grandchild when she gets to the age of accountability that she'll be saved.
Amen.
You want to see your people saved?
Amen.
You want to see your people saved? They got to know and realize that they're missing something. How do they see that? In the love that we have one toward another. That's how. That's how. And I know this church has really been blessed. Really been blessed. Right back here sits a fella that visits 40-something different churches over the course of the year, all in association. They're not all like Dutch Bottoms. Some of them have a good crowd. Some of them have hardly anybody. Some of them have a good treasury. Some of them can barely pay the electric bill. We have truly been blessed. But you know what we are? Sinners. Saved by grace.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I'm a deacon, and I know our deacons don't feel this way. I've been a member at Dutch Bottoms for 40-something years. Did you know you're barely going to get in? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, I can't say I'm righteous. Can you? Where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? You know what your righteousness is, what my righteousness is? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Dad used to change the oil when he'd take that filter off. He'd take an old t-shirt or something like that. He'd turn, and when you got that filter loose, if there's any oil in there at all, he'd come down over the top of that filter and run down onto that t-shirt. A nice white t-shirt was now ruined by the blackness of that oil. A young soul is ruined by the blackness of sin. You see, we're just all sinners. And but for the grace of God, we'd be burning in hell now.
Amen.
I don't care who your mom and daddy
That's
is.
Right.
I don't care how long, how many years you've been coming to Dutch Bottoms. I don't care how long you've been saved or how long you've been a member. We're all just sinners saved by grace. And the only difference between me and the drug addict is I've been saved. And I want to pray for him that he'll get saved.
Amen.
When he does, he can give that stuff up. You know, you can't do hardly anything by yourself.
Yeah.
But with God, all things are possible. All right, I took more than 2 minutes. Love one another as I have loved you. Okay.